Dating and love, seek treatment. If you're boring as fuck, seek treatment. If you're unlucky in love, seek treatment. If you just can't take a hint, we'll seek treatment. With Kat and Pat.
Hey.
Hey.
It's Kitty Kat, Mrs. Cappuccino.
And it's Patrick Owen. Mr. Dr. Sir, His Honor, Cappuccino Esquire.
And people keep, the Cappuccino people keep, family. People keep tagging us in that tweet that's like, Your Honor, are you mad at me?
I know, people do tag, you know, it is, you know, you have to say this for our listeners, like whenever anyone posts any sort of like meme adjacent thing where there's around the concept of anyone being mad at anyone,
right,
people will be like, this is already a podcast, it's called Seek Treatment, you know what I mean?
Which I like people sticking up for us for once.
Me too. No, but every 2 weeks someone posts, like literally every 2 weeks someone posts this exact tweet, something like a new person will tweet.
That's so true.
I want to have a podcast where I interview guests and ask for their mad. It gets 500 million likes.
Yeah,
and
more, then everyone, they're like, making more money than we've ever made in our lives from tweeting one tweet. That's our idea.
Oh my God.
Parallel. You know, anyways, I'm so sorry. The point of that, all to say that this is Seek Treatment.
Yeah, that was all just to convey the point that this is Seek Treatment, a podcast about boys, sex, fucking, dating and love. But wait, in that same vein, just thematically, this is connected. You know what my new like joke structure is that like is like 9 years old, but I'm just finding it funny right now today, today. Why are you as a man blank? I think why are you as a man blank is so funny.
You know what I like so much that you made up? Make it make sense. Make that make sense.
Oh yeah, that was really more. I would say that was almost more
you and Ryan. Well,
me. Yeah.
Because all I can say is, as I have been browsing StreetEasy.com, I'm like $16,000 a month. Make that make sense. Make sense.
This is, I think, not the time to dive into the
No, market. I know.
And I'm sorry. I know. I said that it was unprofessional.
I can't help myself, but the good news is I'm actually not going to move until October, so I can stop my Billie Eilish strange addiction of being glued to StreetEasy.com at all hours of the Z. Guess where I just came from?
Setting me up for failure. I don't know.
I have a new trainer. And his name is
friend.
Michael McGuire.
You know, I caught him in like just one frame of your story. Like you like swiped right by him.
You know what?
Like, that's my friend. I would know him from anywhere. I would know him anywhere, my friend.
No, I made a TikTok with him because I'm trying to become more active on TikTok because I do think it's the future. And I want to be part of the conversation.
I want to be part of the future. I do not want to be part of the conversation. But what was I going to say?
Oh, so what I was going to say is that I just came from my workout. And you know what? The thing about working out is that it's really, really, really hard. And the whole time you're doing it, you're thinking, this is really, really hard. And you want it to stop. You want it to stop so much. And then you feel in a much better mood, I have to say.
I had such a nice run today. You know, I'm only running every other day because of my leg. But I am going to a doctor that I love a doctor queen. A fierce Dr. Queen who like just will look you in your eye and be like, I don't accept any insurance.
It's actually iconic.
You are
a criminal. Like, you're a criminal.
You're a criminal. Because like, what do you care if it comes from me or my insurance? Like, you literally just
you
like,
think you're being Robin Hood, but you're actually stealing from the poor.
Yeah, it's so crazy. Like, what is her end game there? Because I finally just got like insurance. Like, I just joined the guild.
Shout out to the guild. Wait, by the way, Dr. Queen coming this fall on CBS. Think I should play her?
Yeah,
she doesn't take insurance, and she's not gonna try.
Like, why are you as a Dr. Queen not taking any insurance?
But can I tell you something about my experience with Dr. Insurance?
But I just did the structure. Did you notice I just did the structure?
Why are you as Dr. Queen?
Yeah.
Congratulations on your new structure that's giving you joy.
Thank you.
I have been, Pat, I texted you this, but I've been literally, it's actually scary. It's been scary how depressed I've been all week. I'm finally feeling a little better today, but I've been like breaking down in tears like once a day at least, like because I feel like absolute pain.
I want to shed light I want to shed light on that by being like, you actually didn't text me yet. You Instagram DM'd me yet, which that,
it's literally Russian roulette trying to get in contact with you.
I know. People,
but I don't care.
People all over the country are mad at me right now.
Oh, people all over the country are to be like, Catherine, why isn't Pat responding to me? And I'm like, honey, my go-to response is, that's just, it doesn't mean anything. That's how he is. He doesn't respond to me. And y'all know we're real close.
Well, the worst part of everything is, like, I try my hard. I really try. And it's
A tough week with it. I know you think I am, but I'm not mad at you that you rescheduled this 3 times.
Everyone was really, really mad. I only rescheduled this one time. I rescheduled this only one time. And then rescheduled beep.
One time. Redacted.
Yeah, I was scheduled redacted one time.
Redacted.
I'm just back in fresh from Binghamton University. Oh, how was it? Well, it was fun. I had a nice time. No one there cared about
how
me.
How much did
at
they pay
all.
You? Bleep it.
Bleep it.
It's the kind of thing but, where it's like, it's like you should make more, but also that's a lot of money.
Totally. And also, so I was opening for Jabuki, who I honestly love so much.
He's the best.
So nice to, like, literally just chat with someone normal and, like, try to be normal with a normal person for, like, a couple minutes.
I know.
Like,
he stays so sane, cool. even though he's, like, the most successful.
I know.
He's so funny. Is it making him laugh? His laugh is so beautiful. I love making him giggle.
Making him laugh is an incredible feeling. But I did
have
this sensation.
How does he stay so real and raw?
I don't know. I didn't ask. Because I didn't want to pry into his regimen of staying sane. But I was in a place where, like, so I have woken up at, like, truly 7:45 the past 2 days, which
I think
is really huge. Cool.
That's huge. That's cool.
My story for the last, like, 4 days has been, one day I couldn't fall asleep at night, and I didn't fall asleep till, like, 6 a.m. and had to wake up at, like, 9. I had to wake up until 9. But then I powered through, and I didn't nap that day. And so then I ended up going to bed, like, 2 the next night and woke up, and then I still had to wake up at like 9, which is still 7 hours, but it just wasn't enough after the deficit I'd created for myself. And then I just was like, and that was going into like this past, like yesterday. So I did feel like amongst the college students and even with Jabuki, I was like, you know, when you're so tired, but then you like drink too much caffeine to like counteract it, but then you like are like, yeah,
I kind of like it though.
I don't. It reminds me of being
like strong.
It must
have been fun to being on a
TFL.
But to have that feeling on a college campus would be so like, yes, take me bar.
I know. But everyone at Binghamton was lovely to me. And I say this with so much love and understanding. I could have been struck by a lightning bolt and collapsed dead on stage. No one would have blinked an eye. Like, no one there cared about me at all, which is
new thing.
But they were so sweet about it. Because like, they were all like obviously obsessed with Jabuki. They wanted like pictures with the Jabuki. And then they would like, I would be like, you don't have...
But they must have loved you.
Yeah, I think they thought it was funny. I think they didn't think it was funny. Actually, shout out to this, the only real girl in the world who's a girl at Binghamton campus who shouted out at me during my set. Come to Aqua tonight.
Yes, what's that?
She was going.
Is that a club?
She was going to a club called Aqua. And I was like, I am not going to come to Aqua, but I am so glad that you graciously invited me.
You know what my new thing is? Like, so we went to Breckenridge and we had a little ski weekend. First of all, I'm getting so much better at skiing. I'm so proud of myself. I'm really enjoying the mountain and I'm really feeling at peace in the mountains. Wow. And I'm gonna buy myself a pair of skis for next season.
But
anyways.
Isn't it frustrating, like, putting the boots on, like, then getting in your skis and then, like,
cross-country
skiing 18 miles to the chairlift? And then
you don't,
like,
have to cross-country ski 18 miles to the chairlift.
And here's then, this is all to try your hardest to not fall down.
Here's
you know
the thing, you put on your boots... You grab the annoying part is you have to walk to the gondola, but then once you're in the gondola, babe, it's not too bad.
Oh, I've never been in a place with a gondola.
But let me say this much. It is a pain the first time, but then you just like get used to it and it's like not a big deal. But this is what I'll say. My new thing wherever I go is walking into a restaurant in the middle of Colorado and being like, okay, I guess no one here has seen my Netflix special. I'm just seeing if anyone cares at all about me. And the answer is no. Not a single place. Not a single place. It's so humiliating when you think like you're going to go somewhere and someone's going to like know your work and
Totally. That's why I was glad like going into like this event. Wait, we have a text from, okay. Oh, he's clicking in. He could come in. I forgot we were having a guest.
I'm so excited to talk to him.
I include how like laid back and like open and welcoming we're feeling about this guest. Cause we feel safe.
I'm also so proud of you for the decision you made.
Oh, I know. I made it a really good decision.
Oh, I'm screaming. I'm screaming.
The mayor of Los Angeles is on.
The mayor of Los Angeles here. Put your ears open for our amazing guest. The mayor of Los Angeles, Gary O'Donnell.
I'm the lieutenant mayor of LA.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Hi, guys.
Gary, you don't even know. You don't even know. I've been such a fan of you for so many years, and we've never even said a single word.
We've exchanged
messages,
but not IRL like me and
all
you.
And by the way, Carrie, I know what you're thinking. I look like shit, but it's because I worked out. It's because I worked out.
I love it.
The way you make me LOL. You're the only funny person on Twitter.
Oh my God. My headstone will say he was funny on Twitter.
I'll always remember eating at a restaurant with it was that trip. Catherine and I went to LA when everyone was there for no reason. My first time in LA, and we were eating falafel at this falafel restaurant. And Joel Kambusu said to me,
"Oh my God, you just remixed your
thing." Oh my God, that was so.
I hope
that was amazing.
What happened?
Did you hear that?
Yeah, that was incredible.
No, it was full DJ on the dance floor. It was you did a remix called Joel Kambusu said to me.
That was so. I have chills.
I hope to God that recorded because that's a hit. It's called the Joel Kambusu When He Said to Me remix.
That was beautiful.
Okay, sorry, was this meal? So was it a meal that I didn't go to?
The point of this story is so literally LOL. I think you had already left LA. Maybe I forget, or you had something. It was like Sudi and Micha and Patty.
I have a sense memory of bailing on that meal and feeling really guilty.
Yes. Oh yes, you bailed on the meal and felt guilty.
But yeah, I always feel so guilty in Los Angeles. So
and the
guilty.
Point of the story is that Joel conversation turned to me and said, "I'm gonna connect you with my friend Carrie." And
that's an amazing story. said to me.
I remember that vividly. And then I kept thinking if I wish that you had been living here all the time because I think we would have been good friends.
I know.
There's still time.
Yeah, there's still time. Now.
There's still time to get to know each other.
You used to live here.
I lived in New York for 5 years.
Tell them the truth. Wait, first we have to introduce because we haven't really been introducing our guests, and I've noticed sometimes people get me and say, "Could you please introduce your guests?" Because you don't know.
People are like, "Can you stop being absolutely horrific towards your guests?" Everyone's like, "Can you stop talking over your guests and not saying who they are?"
Well, Carrie, you're just throwing me in. It's nice.
Yeah. Well, sometimes
your
it's
family.
Like,
yeah.
When someone's family, it's almost insulting to try to be on a podcast and be like, "Welcome back to the station.
We're joined
have our guests
today." I'm sitting on the floor, for God's sake.
We're not being joined today by anyone. We're sitting on the floor with a friend today.
Yeah.
But Carrie Donald is a hilarious comedian and writer and host of his own very funny podcast, Sexy Unique Podcast, Sup. And just all around very funny person.
Thanks for having me, guys. You were a guest on a kind of harrowing live Zoom on Sup during first wave lockdown.
Yeah, that was early. That was early on.
Yeah.
Wow, we've really been there and back.
Yeah.
I broke down in tears thinking I think we're all just, I sound full Gwyneth right now, but I'm just I'm literally coming to and being what the fuck just happened?
I know.
And then I'm oh right? My God, the trauma.
Yeah. Yeah.
I saw a Nicole Kidman headline recently where she said she often just starts crying because she can't handle what's happening in the world. And I think that is very timely to what you just said.
And that's
someone who's created, I'm not joking, 12 television programs during just the coronavirus pandemic.
No one was working more in the last 2 years than
how many
than
Nicole
Nick.
Kidman shows came out in the pandemic?
I think at least 3 or 4. To I guess
crazy.
Not even kidding.
Becoming, by becoming, I mean undoing.
The undoing, the that like.
Nine Strangers.
Weird, yes.
That was so unwatchable.
Yeah.
I really tried it. I worked hard.
It was so sad about the undoing, how they made it horrible, even though it was good at the beginning.
It was so good at the beginning. And then it got kind of like at the end, that it ended in Albany just blew my mind. Like, why are they? They're on a bridge in Albany at the end. I was like, this is truly jump the shark.
I'm really just picturing the writer's room where he's like, the twist is that there isn't one. Everyone's like, that's actually really good for this day and age. That's really good.
Yeah. But is it or is it not based? And this is the question that science, there's actually a lot of government-funded scientists in a lab trying to figure out if The Undoing is or is not based on a book. And no one knows if that's what the case is there.
I thought you were going to say, is it based on something, a real story?
No.
I want to write a book based on a show.
I'm sure that it's based on a true story just because, like, accidentally, it's such a plain story that I'm sure it happened sometime at some point. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like a man killed a woman and then, like, everyone knew it was him. The end. Yeah. And ultimately when he killed a woman, it created some conflict in his marriage.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Wait, what was it?
Wasn't there an amazing moment in that movie or in that show when, like, Donald, doesn't he call himself a cocksucker?
Yeah, yes.
That was beautiful. That was worth the whole season for me.
Or does he call?
He says, "You know what I am? I'm a cocksucker." And
Donald Sutherland,
says that to Hugh Grant about him being like how he navigates through life is just being a cocksucker in this emotional sense.
Oh my God. I thought it was
him.
And
I just love that.
You know what? I just cut, instead of picturing that, I immediately pictured the Firefest doc guy where he's like,
"Oh yeah, that felt like it was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
That wasn't during the pandemic, was it?
No, that wasn't.
I think it was right before the pandemic.
Now I'm really, really scared and I feel unsafe.
Right?
I think I don't want to create conflict on the podcast ever. I think it might have been like 2018. I'm really
so what?
I can't touch.
Yeah,
I can't.
So what? I
splitting hairs here. Yeah, don't. Yeah, classic. Okay. Don't let the truth get in the way of good stuff.
Yeah, that's what I'm a plant. I've come on.
Carrie, have you seen you seen Is It Cake?
Oh no, this is so weird though because
I need your feedback on it.
Well, my fiance.
Congratulations, so, Barry the
Lee. I forgot.
We forgot.
I don't deserve him. Showed me a video pre-Is It Cake of just a show, I think in Japan, where people just like bite into doorknobs to see if it's candy. And I think it's called Is It Candy? And then literally a day later, people on Twitter were talking about Is It Cake?
Oh my God.
And I felt like Matrix glitchy moment. what is happening with it?
No, I mean, you could either go and get a full frontal lobotomy or you could watch the first 6 minutes of Is It Cake and I actually felt so at peace because it's so insane that I was laughing so hard alone in my room being like, that's all. There's nothing to say about it. I just need you just watch a little. Well, you can watch 5 minutes and I think you'll get the gist.
Okay. Do you feel like it's a balm for you? Kind of like
it was, we kind of didn't know what to watch and my boyfriend's like, let's just throw on Is It Cake for a few minutes and I'm like, perfect.
Well, you always need one thing to be watching when you want that lobotomy feel, like you need that feeling.
Nothing tastes as good as lobotomy feels.
Yeah.
For me, right? What's yours?
Go ahead, Pat. No. Oh, my lobotomy show during COVID was The Last Ship on TNT.
I don't know that.
It's with Eric. It's with Grey's Anatomy's Eric Dane and Euphoria's Eric Dane.
Oh,
and it takes. Oh, it's like God, one of those like strange TNT shows that go on for like 8 seasons, and you're like, wait, what? And there, we kind of reached the end of television at a certain point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and we went there, and I was fully in it. It was like a military show.
Yeah,
I was just like, in it.
In another lifetime, that reminds me of in another lifetime when I was an office PA, I worked for Smithsonian Channel for a time and had to make like next week on promos for a show on Smithsonian Channel called Mighty Ships, which was non-scripted. It was a kind of docu-show where old men would give you a tour of a ship. And that was the show. And I would have to be like, next week on Mighty Ships, this person gives you a tour of the SS, like whatever. And it is a truly crazy ship. Tune in next week on
Your
Mighty
voice
Ships.
Would have to do that?
No, I would have to like, theoretically write.
I would have to sometimes. A parody and voiceover.
I would love to do voiceover work. Actually, I say that, but then like, I don't know if that's really true about me.
You know love your voice.
I really, really want to be a plus size model for like a shitty, like really definitely haunted Instagram brand that's going to collapse in like 2 years. Like I'm dying to put on those, you know what I mean? I want to do that.
Yeah.
It's time. Anyways.
Like a black hole Instagram that's like collapsing on itself.
Exactly. Wait, are you on TikTok?
Yeah, I am.
Are you enjoying it?
Every time I do a video, I like feel like it's an act of violence, kind of.
I'm new to the community, so I'm trying to get a feel for it.
I feel like you'd be good.
Stop.
It'd be intuitive with you, I feel like.
You never know.
It just, I mean, I appreciate TikTok, and I think it also is the tool of the devil, but I also, like, every time I do one, I feel bad.
Why do you think it's demonic?
I think it's just like it's so alien to our generation. It's purely like the one below us. And it's like, it just feels like it's totally birthed out of like something that's already an infection.
Totally.
It's like a double ear infection. And I've been, you know, there's like these weird, TikTok prone mental illness stuff where like these young girls are getting Tourette syndrome.
I am fascinated by that.
I mean, that feel like they're like developing tics based on their favorite influencers in the Tourette's community.
Oh my God.
And it's like, you don't just get Tourette's like later. And like, they're all in their older teens and it's all like white girls and they're all just getting Tourette's.
You're reminding me of when Nexium cured Tourette's and no one.
I forgot about that amazing day.
Yeah.
Wait, there was also that community on TikTok of people who either did have or were convinced they had dissociative identity disorder and had like multiple personalities and they would film themselves flipping between them and then people would like develop that.
Yeah.
It is a tool. It is scary out there.
Yeah. That sounds really scarier even than I imagined. Like,
I just watch women making like salads.
I mean, that's great. I mean,
this one's so good. Bethany.
Yeah.
I famously love Carrie watching. Every once in a while, Bethany Frankel will post a video of her making a salad.
Yeah.
It's just, there's something so soulless about it and so like, I can't even explain
my favorite line. Say the cucumber line.
Oh wait, what cucumber line?
My favorite line is when she's like, she has the small cucumbers, she's cutting them and she's like, if your kids don't like regular cucumbers, they might like these. They might like these.
They might like these.
No.
Wait, before we dive in, I want to ask Carrie about, because some of your tweets that make me laugh the hardest are sort of Julia Fox adjacent. And I would love to know, like, what is your relationship to the Julia Fox moment that we're living through?
Yeah.
Feel safe.
No, I feel very safe here.
Okay.
It's nothing but love with me. Mm-hmm. Like, I appreciate her. I think she's
doing the work.
Truly weird. And I'm fascinated. And it's not like, I think she's actually cool and I respect her, whatever she's doing right now. Cause I don't think it's like the Kanye thing. She definitely put in the work and good for her. She got her name elevated, but she's still not really like a household name yet. So she's still in this like weird in between. And I just like what she's doing with it. Cause it's unexpected.
It's interesting. I need to know more. I'm still a little bit confused. I was like fully on board for a second. And then sometime around the Oscars, I had to take a step back and say, wait, what? I don't like this anymore. I don't know why. I became no longer sure if she was in on the joke as much as I thought she might've been. And I don't know. I'm not sure.
The book thing seemed like she was definitely in on the joke.
Yeah.
That was amazing. Did you watch that segment, Pat?
Yes.
Yeah, that felt like she was very like, I'm LOLing it at myself.
Yeah, like, fuck you. Yeah, like, well, of course, my book. Like, I was obsessed.
Yeah. And she sang it with, like, a hand, like, alien hand ripping her neck.
Oh, it's so good.
Wait, I saw something crazy on Twitter that I cannot stop thinking about. And, like, okay, so, you know, a dear friend, Zach Schiffman. I say dear friend. I didn't know him, but he's so funny and nice and sweet.
He's really funny.
We got to have him on the pod.
He tweeted a picture of like Olivia Rodriguez, like very in just a good natured way. Like she's wearing, you know, a costume that might be worn by like a Rent performer.
Yeah. Oh, that was funny. Like,
and he was like, yeah, she looks like she's like in Rent in this outfit, whatever. He said, I love Olivia Rodriguez, but like she looks, this outfit looks like a Rent performer, a Rent character.
Rent performer.
He is literally getting like, people are like, Stan Twitter is, I'm not the first to say this. It is so, the people that are coming, I've been following it because it's so dark and toxic. It's like people being like, faggot, like you leave her alone. Like you're a grown man policing the way a woman can dress. Like, go fuck yourself. People are like literally in his DM. It's crazy because he posted a screenshot of like someone's DMs and it's like, they're literally crazy. It's like, why are they like homophobic, like ultra defensive? Like, no, you're bullying. They're literally like, you're bullying Olivia Rodriguez. You're not cool. It's not okay. You need to stop. You're a faggot. Like, it's like
and also, you're a faggot.
Yeah. Separate from all
to boot.
That.
Yeah, it is. I think the like the vile homophobia on Twitter is very. I've never seen it higher. I feel like.
Oh my god.
So interesting. So interesting.
So interesting and so fascinating. Oh my God, y'all. Here's what's so, so crazy, but I really believe that gaps in the diet shouldn't be ignored. Over 90% of women aged 19 to 50 are not getting enough vitamin D from their diet, and 95% are not getting their recommended daily intake of key omega-3s. But Rituals Essential for Women 18 Plus Multivitamin was formulated by exhaustive research to help fill nutrient gaps in the diets of women ages 18 and up. It's formulated with nutrients to help support brain health, bone health, blood health, and provide antioxidant support. I have loved taking my Ritual vitamins. It just feels like a nice thing I can do to be at home in my body for once.
I just always feel better when I take a multivitamin because, you know, energy levels are something that I'm always trying to raise because of chronic fatigue. And I think that when I am able to make sure I can kind of cross my T's and dot my I's and make sure I'm getting all the nutrients I need, I feel more nimble both mentally and physically. And so for me, a multivitamin is just an easy thing I can do to kind of stay on top of that stuff. Right now, Ritual is offering our listeners 10% off your first 3 months. Visit ritual.com/seek treatment and turn healthy habits into a ritual. That's 10% off at ritual.com/seek treatment. Oh my gosh, I've been through so many ups and downs in terms of managing my mental health and stress. It can be really tricky. I went through a lot of my 20s not knowing how to even begin the process. That's why things like New Mood, I think, can be really helpful for some people in terms of just being able to guide you through your mental wellness so you don't have to take it on all by yourself. New makes it a lot easier to at least start that process and give you the tools you need to tackle stress so you'll feel empowered to take on whatever life throws at you.
With New Mood, you'll take the journey to mental wellness one step at a time. Their guided approach teaches you the power of shifting your mindset in just a few minutes a day. I feel like since I've been using New Mood, I'm better at just slowing down when a stressful situation arises, doing some breathing exercises, and thinking about how I want to act in the future moment. And what's so cool about New Mood is that it's backed by science. Lessons based on psychological principles that teach you about your relationship with stress and anxiety. Plus, it holds your hand. There's a daily curriculum coupled with a one-on-one coach that guides and encourages you on your journey. Plus, it's accessible and convenient. Only 10 minutes a day, and you can do it whenever, wherever. I promise you guys, things are so hard right now, but we can get through this. And the skills I've learned from New Mood has really, really helped me. And I think the experts at Noom are there for us in this time of need. So if you want to worry less and just feel happier, sign up for your trial at Noom.com/seek treatment. That's Noom.com/seek treatment.
Now, I think it's time we dive in with our main amazing question for you, Carrie.
Okay.
Who were you?
Who are you?
And who do you want to be?
And who might you want to be? To borrow a word from Bethany of might.
Who was I? Who am I?
And who were you? So like, Growing up, how were you?
So by who were you? We mean, like, did you hook up in high school?
You were in Jersey. Yeah, I grew up in South Jersey. Okay. I went to public school up until my junior year, and then I was at a private all boys school, like a Catholic school in Philly.
And how is that coming from a gay perspective?
It was honestly not that bad. Like, my parents basically wanted me to do it, so I did it to, like, appease them. And I was very terrified entering it, but I liked it. Like, it was, I think not having girls there made guys less eager to, like, impress and, like, exert dominance.
That's interesting, yeah.
So people were, I mean, there were still mean guys, but, like, it was pretty chill.
It's interesting.
No, keep going.
No, you keep going.
No, I'm good.
I'm good.
And that's our show. Thank you all for tuning in.
So
like and subscribe.
No, I don't want me to ever interrupt or talk over.
I like but that.
It's hard on Zoom. We have to give us a little. We have to be kind to ourselves, Pat.
I gave you grace. And okay. I know you're Catholic too, so I like to, like, know you have some feelings.
Totally. Well, I just I wonder about an all boys school, because it's like, as a gay male child, often, like, it'll be so much literally easier to talk to girls than boys. But maybe if there were no girls to use as the social crutches that they are.
Women,
Catherine,
the social crutch of community.
Maybe then I would have, like, actually been fine with chatting with boys and being fine about it.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, like, the gals were my allies growing up. So it was a little hard to take them out of the equation. But yeah, it was fine. We also had girls that went to a sister school that we hung out with all the time.
So like
they
were,
yeah, and they were all really great. I know, it's so, like,
sister school.
But they were.
I hate when anything's like sister something that's, like, not a person. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it is, like, sister city or, like, something. Sister school.
Yeah, like institutions. Unfortunately, institutions can't be sisters.
Wait, quick aside. I tweeted that I had sex, and someone commented, like, I hope you came so hard, sis.
Oh, I love that person.
I was obsessed. I was like, I love my life. I'm obsessed with this absolutely beautiful community. Anyways, back to your sister school. I hope you came so hard, sis.
Kat, you did have you had a tweet the other day that made me lol. It was you wheeling, like, a suitcase around.
Oh my God. I felt you in that tweet.
I get that.
It was tough.
Yeah, so we hung out with them all the time. It was good. It was fine. I mean, I was, like, dealing with depression and, like, burgeoning alcoholism and my closet self. So it was, like, I had a lot of sister storms swirling in my head. So that was tough. But
yeah,
it was fine. I got bullied a lot more, like, in grade school, middle school. But by high school, it was, like, not as bad.
You know what I'm going to say? You have a deep voice, which might have been helpful.
Thanks. I trained myself.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of, like, coded speaking and kind of the great performance.
Yeah, the great
performance. Now, role of a lifetime.
Were you a party girl in a party world in high school, or did you wait till... Because I wasn't a party girl in a party world.
Really?
Mm-mm, I wasn't a party girl till, like, college.
And then you, like, went wild.
Then I went wild, and then I really went wild with, like, drugs and stuff, like, after college even. Well, same. During college and after.
Same. Yeah, we've kind of discussed that, Pat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was bad. I was a little bad boy. I started drinking at 14.
Wow, that's cool.
I was like a blackout, weekend blackout drinker.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it was really, really great. But I was on this, swim team, so I had to had some discipline.
Yeah,
but I was pretty wild.
But you had to get it together for states.
Yeah, and like JOs, but not that Junior Olympics.
Oh wow,
really? Which sounds way like more important than it actually was.
It's the Olympics, Carrie. You're an Olympian.
It's the Olympics.
stop having imposter syndrome towards us.
Always.
You are an Olympian.
You are an Olympic swimmer, and you always will be an Olympic swimmer.
I was truly, I was like, I just have to be good today. Like, I was like, I felt like I was going in for a race before he logged in. Because you guys are like...
Oh my gosh, no.
Honey, we're sitting on the floor.
You're powerhouses.
We're not powerhouses.
No, we're mentally ill.
Same. So I feel good.
No.
Wait, so when did you get a call?
And when did you make the decision to finally become out and proud?
I made a decision to be gay at 19.
Oh, cool.
And, I went to Franklin and Marshall. It's in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. It's kind of Amish country.
Oh.
Because I'm from right near Philly, so it's like
gorge.
2 hours west of Philly.
You kind of have that Philly tilt to your voice. Which is,
you know, Pat's obsessed with that.
That's my hottest accent.
Really? The Philly accent?
Yeah, like Bakertown.
Like no, yeah. Going down
give me
the shore.
My notebook. Yeah, cool. Yeah.
Gotta go to Wawa.
Oh, I love Wawa.
So good. One of my darkest ever moments as like a bulimic was coming back from, I don't think I've ever told this story in the podcast, coming back from senior week, party fingers, my senior year of college. And it was from, I went to school in Baltimore. We were going from senior weeks in Delaware. I'm with my girlfriend. Yeah, you heard that right. And
right.
Like, her two roommates. I'm like the most depressed I've ever been. I'm also like, I think I just got done like an insane binge of Adderall. So like I wasn't eating for like 2 months, but then I ate so much. I literally gained 35 pounds in like 4 days. Like people say that's not possible, but like I literally proved that wrong. Like I was just on this insane cycle.
Yeah.
And we stop at Wawa and I'm like ordering and I'm already knowing like I'm going to eat this on the way home and throw it up. And this is going to be like kind of bingy.
Can I order? Do you remember what you were? Oh, you're going to say it now. Okay.
Yes. No, but you can guess. Wait, why?
I just like, I love hearing people's Wawa's orders. So I'm like, really
me too.
Yeah.
So you've never heard one like this. So I go in, I'm going to get a chicken salad sub. And they're like, do you want it to be like 6 inch or like they had what, like a mini, like a regular or like a even bigger, I forget what the word was for it, but I wasn't thinking in terms of like numbers and integers. And
you said a 12 incher?
I got a 3-footer of chicken salad.
Chicken salad.
So they start taking out this box, like a party sub box. So I catch it. There's multiple workers working on it. I get my tag while they're crafting this like party sub of chicken salad. I go to pay for it. The woman puts her hand on her headset and goes, so the 3-foot chicken salad is not a joke. That's real. He is buying the 3-foot chicken salad.
No, it's not a joke.
I had to hold this 3-foot and get in the car and be like, pretend that like I wasn't bulimic holding it.
Oh, you got like an event sandwich.
Yeah. They had never had chicken salad.
Oh my god!
This is not a joke. Yeah.
Oh my god! They were scraping the bottom of that chicken salad tub to fill up your long bread.
I'm sure I got like my debit card like got rejected. I'm sure I had to like borrow money from people around me.
Oh my god! But you were straight like. Because I remember you were straight like all through college, right?
And for years
and beyond.
I was till I was 25. You're so lucky you were gay. What was it like being gay in Amish country for once?
College was fine. I had friends. I was on the swim team. I was thriving in my creative writing workshops, but I was also like semi-suicidal and like did not have an easy time coming out with my family. They were they're great now. They probably, my
are
mom,
they religious? Or they're really Catholic?
Just really Catholic. Yeah. My mom calls my fiance more than she calls me. So like now we're all good. But like they were just like, no, you know? So I kind of went back into the closet.
Sad.
So college was tough, but it was fine being all the way out there. It was like, it was not like being in school in New York or something, but it was, or even Baltimore, but it was tough, but good.
Baltimore was really sceney. There was amazing, queer spaces all over the city. Actually, I'm sure there probably were, but wait, was going to say, you swam in college?
I swam till junior year of college.
You truly are a junior Olympian.
You're Olympics.
I am Olympian.
So
you're the Olympics.
You step foot onto campus and a year later you come out. And are you like, I'm gonna get what I want. I'm going after the boys. Or were you kind of like, I'm just content to be gay, but like to myself, kind of?
I think that was it.
Gay to myself.
Well, it was freshman year. I was like, I like girls, but I'm also like,
yeah.
I've met people that I'm kind of unexpectedly mm-hmm. attracted to, and by people I mean guys.
Yeah.
So I was like,
so were you in high school not knowing you were into guys, kind of?
Yeah, I was like, it was very latent with me. Like, I had girlfriends, or I tried to have girlfriends, and I like made out with girls, and like, I was, you know, I would pursue relationships with girls, and I would, because that I would be friends with before, and they would always just be like, "You're so understanding," and like, "You're like the most understanding guy I've met," and like, I'd always get friend zoned, and I would just be like, "What? Like, what is going on?" You know what I mean? And I think I knew that I was having these like intense fixations on guys mm-hmm. while really trying to like be someone I wasn't by being like suave with the girls. And it just was the confliction was kind of driving me insane a little. But yeah, so I tried to be straight. I really wanted to be.
Yeah.
But 19, I was home between freshman and sophomore year of college, and I just like, my dad asked if I wanted to go to Blockbuster to rent a movie, and I got in the car with him and I said, "I think I'm gay."
Oh my God.
And he like lit up a cigarette and smoked for 20 minutes and just drove in circles. And then he was he was like, "Makes sense." So I was like waiting for him to say something. And then he finally said, "Makes sense."
Oh my God.
But so it was like kind of like in retrospect, sometimes I think I should have waited to come out until I was like to my parents, until I was a little more like okay with it and not like wanting to self-conversion therapy myself. But it happened when it did.
Yeah
So
Blockbuster Video.
Wow.
I know, we didn't even make it to Blockbuster.
That's wow crazy.
Right,
it's kind of beautiful.
Yeah.
Damn. And then after call, well, did you always want to be a TV writer, or was that, what was your, when you were in college, what were you feeling?
Yeah, you were creative writing, you said?
Yeah, well, I came to college being like, I'm going to be a philosophy major.
Totally. And then,
but I think there's like math involved somehow. So I was like, no.
That's not right. There shouldn't be that.
It's so crazy how they...
It's like, you have to know what... you have to know the shape of a triangle or something to think about like religion. Okay, calm down.
They love to like take something that's like, if there's any way they could stretch it so that math is like theoretically tangentially related, they're like, math and this other thing go hand in hand, and you cannot know one without the other.
Exactly.
Like, that's not true.
They make it essential. No, I just kind of fell in. Like, I was always good at writing. I was horrific at math and science. My parents were like, it was a long struggle to get me to like do well in math. So I spent more time focusing on that than writing, which I was actually good at. My teachers would a few times be like, "Your son's really good at writing." But my mom was like, "Well, we don't have time for that." Like that kind of thing. And then when I got to college, I started taking writing courses and just like loved it.
Letting the pen take you where you wanted to go.
But I wanted to, I was into like fiction short story writing. So I wasn't really, TV and comedy were not, until I moved at home with my parents after college in New Jersey and had to like, it was during the recession and I couldn't get a job at like Starbucks. Like no one would hire me. I tried to get a job at a Yankee Candle store.
Wow.
And I got rejected.
What year did you grad?
2011.
Oh my God. You're 1 year behind me. I thought we might've been same.
I'm younger than you.
I guess. When's your birthday?
April 23rd, 1989.
Yeah, you're gonna go. You're gonna on to be 5 months.
Month?
You're gonna go on to be 5 months younger than me.
Wow.
What month?
April 23rd. This month.
Oh my God! Oh my God!
Yeah.
Wait, that's insane. It's fucking insane.
You never told us it was your birthday month. That's what I
know. Yeah, you buried the lead. So you'll be 32.
33.
Yeah. Is that Jesus's age, or is it 32?
Jesus' age.
Jesus, cool. Age, 33,
Jesus age.
33,
I'm Jesus
awesome.
Age. You are. I'm Jesus age. You're, but you look so young.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Carrie
Only. That's crazy, Pat.
Good morning to Carrie Only.
I don't know who needs to hear this, but good morning to Carrie Only.
Why are you, as Carrie, having a good morning?
The new form. The form.
That's my new favorite, like, structure, Carrie, for no reason. But being 33 is very, like, you literally keep thinking you're 32. I know this is, like, every age, but it's especially 33. You keep thinking you're 32. You remember you're 33, and then, like, you think of someone who's, like, a year older than you, and you realize they're, like, just turned 35 because their birthday's earlier than yours, and you're, like, so weird. And people keep telling you it's Jesus year. People keep being, like, that's Jesus year, and they don't, like, elaborate. But that's
Jesus year sounds like the new, like, Casey Musgraves album, and it's Jesus year.
Love it. Is very, or like a short story collection.
Oh yeah,
Jesus year.
My Jesus year. My Jesus year in numbers.
It's like a memoir. It's like an Eat, Pray, Love. Like, I was crying on the floor of my Bushwick apartment. It was the fourth day of my Jesus year, and I had just found out that I was pregnant with twins I never wanted.
That sounds good.
I know. That actually sounds great.
I mean, maybe I'll write a fake memoir about a woman.
You should. Well, we already have our fake TV show, Loveland. What is it?
Lovington High. Carrie, you want to make a show called Lovington High?
Do you want to be in the writer's room?
Yeah, I'd love it.
Lovington High. Yeah. Emily Corse is getting killed.
Yeah. It's like it starts with a voiceover. It's probably Kristen Bell. And it's like, Lovington High, where the grass is green, the teachers are horny, and I've been dead for 13 days. The only problem is the person who killed me is
Go here anymore.
Welcome to Lovington High, kids. I think you're gonna like it.
Class is in session.
It's an hour. It's just all an hour of just that voice.
It's an hour of intros.
Oh my
at
god!
Lovington High, the Valentine's Day ball is absolutely to die for. But who's gonna ask you when your only date has been dead for 3 days?
Everyone's recently passed. I'm not sure.
I was sitting on the floor of my Bushwick apartment. It was the fourth day of my Jesus year. I just found out I was pregnant with twins I didn't want it. And my vape was empty.
I looked at my
mirror. What happens to a vape? I don't understand vape culture, and I have no interest in being a part of it.
I looked at the mirror and saw the red lipstick smeared all over my face. And I said to myself out loud, you fucking mess. This was the beginning of my Jesus year, and no one was ready for it. My phone called. It was my sister. She said,
I heard it was your Jesus year.
My phone called. It was my sister. She said, welcome to Lovington High. It's a crossover.
Yeah. My sister called me and said, hey, pig, I heard it's your Jesus year.
Hey, pig. Yeah. Hey, pig, you're late. You missed the big christening. Where have you been? You're letting everyone down. I threw my phone out the window and looked back in the mirror. My mascara was running. I look like a mess. I said out loud to my reflection, you're a fucking slob. This was my Jesus year. But let's back up. How did we get here? Well, I grew up in a suburb. 10 days ago, I died.
Oh my
God.
So wait, then how did you end up in New York City? City of dreams, city of angels.
I just like got a job at the Standard Hotel as a busboy.
No way.
After like a year of my parents were like,
which was the one in Meatpacking?
Yeah.
Did you work at the sexy bar, the sexy top bar?
No, I worked at like the kind of flop bar outside the lobby.
I know exactly what you're talking about. But the girls, the girls who work as servers in the top bar, literally their uniform is a napkin. It's actually incredible. I'm like,
no, it's.
I wouldn't be able to work there. The uniform wouldn't fit. I'd be like, it would cover one titty and one tootie only.
That's very season one Vanderpump. Very season
one. It is. I was just thinking that it's very like they're all like 6'2". And like wear like birthday napkins, like birthday
Anyways, so you're looking at the Standard, you're waiting.
Sorry, just to back up 1 second.
Wait,
so you go home from college, you're like still gay, and you stay there for like a year.
Yeah, I kind of just had like a double, like I would like go to Philly to the gay bars.
Oh, cool.
They have a thriving gay scene actually in Philly.
Cool.
We actually went to an amazing gay bar in Philly. It was an old house and there was a piano. They were doing live karaoke.
Tavern on Camac.
Yeah, it was amazing. Well, we were in Philly during Philly Pride by chance and we had so much fun.
I'm actually going back to Philly for Philly Pride. I'm doing a show in Philadelphia on Philly Pride. Oh, amazing.
Yeah. I'm doing a show there. We'll talk about this after.
Yeah, okay, we'll talk about it after. Actually, let's just say it.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll talk about it after.
What are you scared of?
Me?
What are you scared of?
Oh my God, I just don't want to bore the listeners with my travel itinerary.
That's my passion.
I was just like, I worked weird little odd, like I was working like weird little temporary jobs just to get some income while I lived at home. And then I was tweeting, like I started seeing people were using Twitter to be funny. And I was like, oh, I'll try to do that.
Oh my God.
And I did this account where I pretended to be Tilda Swinton.
Oh my God.
I remember that.
Yeah. And it was like 2012, like viral, like way back when it was more innocent. And
oh my God.
That got me like, I was like, okay, I can like, I'll try to pursue this a little, which is so dark that it came from Twitter, but.
That was the time when that like worked.
It was like the time where it was like feasible.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Right?
So then I moved to New York. I was like catering and working at a restaurant. I tried doing stand up a little in the beginning, which I liked, but also like fugued a few times doing it. So I abandoned that.
You would be so good at stand up.
I like performing. Like when my podcast does live shows, we do like some stand up esque stuff.
Yeah.
I do like performing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I was just too young and like too much of a mess.
Totally.
Feel like I could be actualized like that.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah, and then I just worked. Is this boring?
No, not at all.
Are you joking?
So I just like catered.
We're actually just trying out listening for once in our lives. <You're> like, it's like, I think they're dead.
Oh my God, Kat, I thought that was Paddington behind you.
What's that?
The bear with the little red hat.
Yeah, I don't get that. This is my brother's apartment. I don't know what that is. I don't know what Paddington is. Oh. People are always like Paddington. It's like, okay, what? It's a movie about a dog.
People quite like it. People quite like Paddington.
It's a cartoon. Get over it.
It's apparently like the most beloved movie of all time.
I know. Have you seen it? Would I like it? I'm sure I would hate it. You know who's in it? The Undoing's Hugh Grant.
And Nicole Kidman.
No, she's not.
Oh my God, are you serious?
I think she plays like a villainess.
She literally is in every single thing. And
no, she has body doubles. She has Avril Lavigne thing, where it's like she has three of her.
I recently learned about someone else who has Avril Lavigne thing. Like I saw someone post that.
Avril Lavigne thing.
Avril Lavigne thing is when you die.
When there's like three of
a
you.
Double. Oh, who? I think it was someone who won an Oscar maybe. Who won?
Do you think that's true, Carrie, that about Avril?
That she like died and they replaced her.
Yeah.
Yeah. With like Veronica or something, whatever her name is.
I don't know. I mean, at this point, I'm kind of like, I feel medieval in the sense of like, I'll believe anything now.
Yeah. Me too.
Like I see things as like omens and signs now. So like, sure.
Totally.
Hey.
What cool. about, you know, I remember the other person that there's a double of that is Avril. Reba, I saw on Twitter that Reba is someone who has a double, and so I posted a side by side, and I was like, "That's true. Sometimes she looks like this.
Wow,
she does look like that, huh?" I forget why.
That tracks.
My iPhone thinks I have a double because sometimes I look really ugly, and then they're like, "Is this you?" You know, it's like showing your face.
They're like, "Is this you or Avril?"
They're like, "Is that you or an absolute busted horror?"
So that's kind of fun to be like a bus boy at like the Standard. Like, was it kind of sexy in its own weird way?
Yeah, I mean, it was like, it was hard. Like, it's really hard. Like, I definitely got like humbled from it.
Yeah.
I like didn't really have jobs like that. Like I worked in Cold Stone in college.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Which was also pretty like shockingly
delicious.
But yeah, I got like, you know, you got sexually harassed, you got like just rude people, like lots of rude European trash people. Like a woman literally one time slapped me on the wrist because she didn't like
what?
She didn't like the way I was pouring her water. And I was
that
like,
that is insane.
And but it was very that kind of place where the managers were like, they're, you know, it was pre a lot of things. So they were like, the customer, you know, we have to, you know.
The customer is always abusive, and that's beautiful.
Yeah, you know. But catering was more fun because it was all mostly gay men, and we did like really cool, like chic events.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah.
Like I did an event on the High Line for Coach. They did like a carnival.
Ooh.
Or like a state fair kind of place.
Nah.
And we all had to wear little straw hats and green suspenders. And I worked one of the things where you like hit the bell with the mallet. And and you just had to kind of like, they told us to like smile and like,
oh, that's cool.
You know, shake your tits a little. And I saw Katie Holmes and Connie Britton take a photo together, and it was really
weird.
Oh
my God.
Oh, that's so interesting. I wonder how
that's such a good combo.
I'm in the background of one of their photos, like,
wow. Shaking your tits. No, just tits like, a little bit.
I'm like staring. Like,
oh my God, that's incredible.
It's scary.
It's scary when it happens to you.
Did you end up reading that essay, the Alexander Chi essay collection? He talks a lot about his catering years in New York.
Like, I love him. I have to read that.
It's so good. Anyways, I won't spoil you. What were you saying?
In college, I was a caterer for this guy. This like man who like went, he like owned all the restaurants around my college, and he also had a catering company. It was very strange. And later, he's dead now actually, so I could speak freely, but later it came out he like was buying certain college boys like cars and things, and I just earnestly needed a job, so I just like worked as a caterer. He ultimately never chose to like exchange a car for anything with me, unfortunately. But I catered in college a little bit, and I've catered since college on and off. And I think that like for me, catering is so much about like seeing chocolate lava cake and like being like, are we allowed to eat that ever? And then like I just spent my whole night wondering if like at any point like they're gonna give any, like we're gonna be allowed to eat the extra chocolate lava cakes or whatever.
Right. Yeah, it's very low stakes.
It seems high stakes. I went one time and I was doing like for that man who bought the more attractive boys' cars. I was doing like it's some event in Baltimore. It was like Heart Surgeons of Baltimore or something, or like of that area. It was like very like well to do, and I just like dropped like a full tray of like glasses filled with like everything.
Oh,
and it was
God.
Like a huge. I just always do things like that.
No, Pat,
I cannot imagine you catering.
I did the same thing. I was at a gay celebrity wedding catering it, and I was holding a tray of pink lemonade as they came in.
Oh my God.
And the trays are very lacquered up a lot of the times, and they all just slowly fell and cascaded.
Yeah.
And Zachary Quinto looked up at me and kind of like grimaced a little. And they were like, get back, get out, go open wine bottles. And then I opened the wine bottle and wine splashed in the curtain.
Oh no.
I was like, I feel you.
Oh my God. Damn. Yeah. For me, it's like, I would get so stressed out that I'm like, when that would happen, I would like be so devastated the rest of the night that I would be like, so like, for some reason I didn't have that part of me that would be like, well, like whatever, like who cares? You know what I mean? I would be
well,
like,
I'm glad we didn't cater together, because we would have like maybe like murder-suicided each other.
Wait, yeah. Like, well, yeah.
In like a state of depression. Like we were both like, God, we fucked up so bad tonight.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. Back to biz. Because then, so you're catering. And then what was next? Because then you ended up in LA somehow.
Yeah, then I started working at like, I had the weird, like I worked at, I did social media for a horse gambling website. Like
no.
A startup that was at Flatiron and like one of those like weird like tech, like a WeWork kind of space.
Totally.
It was a website where like they would live stream horse races, and then like you could win like Bitcoin, early Bitcoin money.
Oh my God.
And I had to go like encourage people like to keep betting. It was like really, like this one woman was like, damn, lost all my money again. And I'd be like, keep going, sis. Like that kind of
thing. Only way to go is up.
Yeah.
Hope you came so hard, sis.
Yeah. And then I worked at Yahoo, which was crazy and weird.
Oh, like, weird.
And it's like Most Girl Boss era with Marissa Mayer.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Is it googly, like where it was like, you know, bouncing balls like nap rooms and things like that?
Kind of. I mean, not as nice.
Yeah.
And it was like an uglier Google.
Yeah.
That was a weird time. I was on a lot of drugs.
Yeah.
Like, what was your favorite?
Ecstasy and Coke.
Yeah.
I've never done ecstasy.
It's good that you, I mean, it's good to do, but you shouldn't, if you haven't done it, don't do it.
Yeah, it's an amazing drink to both do and not do, if that makes sense.
If you're prone to like depression, it's probably the worst.
Yeah, I'm definitely prone to intense mood swings.
Yeah, then don't do it.
Cool.
So I was like, yeah, so that was weird because it was like I was making money for the first time, like actual like corporate money. I was just spending it all on drugs.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And just going wild as a gay in New York about town.
Did you have like fun party gays to go out with?
Yeah, I had like a crew.
I never had that, like people to do drugs with, really.
I did for like, I had like a solid group like that for like a year. And then I think they all like probably were like, I don't want to hang out with Carrie anymore. Because it was so... Like, it was getting to a point where, like, people would see me out when I was not fucked up and be like, hey, you good?
Yeah.
I was like, yeah.
I'm really good.
And then I worked at Paper Magazine.
Oh, cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was really fun. It was great. They're awesome.
They do very cool stuff, I feel.
Yeah, they've always been really fucking cool. And then I got a job on Heather's and had to move to L.A.
Oh, and that's when it all started.
It all came about from there.
Do you like LA?
Yeah, I do.
You've become.
How'd you meet your fiance?
Yeah,
he lived a block away from me, and we would see each other. We're both in recovery, so we would see each other at like gatherings of sort. And he hit on me in line at 7-Eleven.
Yes.
And you have a, like, you know, a really hot, like, you have one of the famously most hot situations, which is that he's, like, a little bit older than you. Is that true?
He's, like, 5 years older.
That's,
ooh, hot.
I can't trust this
he's
enough.
He's really hot.
Literally perfect.
Yeah, he's really hot. He's,
yeah.
He's really cool and a lot more level than I am. So it's nice.
Who bent the knee and got down and took out the velveteen box and said, make me the happiest man in the world. Why don't you?
He did.
Nice.
Cool. Yeah. Nice.
Total and what is
he? That means you're holding all the cards. You were surprised.
I was totally surprised.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah, that's so really sweet. Cute. Had you guys like talked about it? Well, how long had you dated?
We had been together at that point for 4 years. So
nice.
Like, we were living together. We were in Palm Springs. It was like in our hotel room. It was super private. And it was but it was nice. Like, we were like in bed and he asked me.
So cute.
Yeah.
That is so cute. Had you like spoken about it or were you like truly like?
We talked about it like a few years before. And
oh my God.
I was like, I'm not ready to get married. And he was. And it kind of caused a little conflict for a minute. But then I think I just needed to grow up a little more.
Mm. Totally. Well, it's hard, especially when you're gay, to get married like 30 or below.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was like, I'm not. Yeah.
You call him and you're like, actually, it's going to be a huge
deal. He's in the next room.
Oh, my God. Does he care about us?
I never met him.
God, I've shown him your guys' stuff before. And he thinks you're really
cool. Oh,
my God. Yeah. You didn't have to do that.
Hey, but we're glad you did.
Yeah.
It's even cooler that you didn't have to.
He's like a visual artist, right? Isn't he a visual artist?
Yeah, he does that visual art and he's a painter.
Oh,
he does like digital rendering. Him and his twin have a company.
So interesting.
Wow.
Twins That's are a huge. Having a twin is sometimes when you're gay, you, it's an amazing sentence. Sometimes when you're gay, you have a twin and sometimes you don't, but sometimes you do. That's my experience.
That's the thing about being, that's the thing about being gay. It's like probably 50% of gays have twins.
Central to the gay experience is deciding whether or not you have a twin.
It's right, Bethany. Like if he's gay, he might have a twin.
So wait, so then who are you now?
Who am I now?
You're engorged, you're in love.
This girl.
I'm in
love.
I'm in love. And I'm also like cautiously hopeful.
I love that.
Do you
want kids?
No.
Does he?
I have a nephew and niece and another nephew on the way, so I'm good. And I have a nephew that's Simon's nephew.
Oh. And you're close with them, right? You're close with those kids.
Yes.
I see online.
I'm obsessed.
Yeah, me too. I'm obsessed with Angelo's sister's kids.
I feel like there's dread. I feel like the world is ending, but I'm also you know what? We're just gonna keep partying, you know,
till the world ends.
I want to party.
I felt dread today for some reason.
I literally, this is really sad, but yesterday I googled. This is really dark. Yesterday googled, why do I dread everything I have to do?
What did it say?
I was like, honestly, like hoping for help. And it was like,
I'm not laughing. I'm just like,
no, you should laugh. It's insane. Honestly, it was like, I was like crying. It was raining. And I was like, I dread even the things that I used to enjoy or that I think I should enjoy. I feel complete dread to do them. But all it said was like, there's the search results were just like, there was one that was like, dread might be a sign of something more serious. I'm like, oh my God, what? That I have like some tumor because I'm dreading going to the gym anyways or a party. God.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
No.
So what's your, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I've done that, but like that, everything
it's
goes
such
to
a scary feeling.
Everything goes to a place of tumor.
Yeah.
The internet leads to tumor. Internet equals tumor.
Carrie's once I was experiencing dread and it did mean that I did have a tumor. So definitely get checked.
Yeah, get checked.
I'll consider it.
Yeah.
So you don't want kids.
I worked out, so I'm feeling less dread today.
Yeah, I mean it's tough. Also,
oh God.
It was raining in New York yesterday, right?
And that can be really scary.
It can be really, really terrifying.
And the count of three, everyone say rain or snow, what they prefer. One, two, three. Snow.
Snow.
Okay.
Wow.
Wow, it's us against you, Carrie. Mm.
We didn't mean to gang up on you. So anyways, Carrie, who do you want to be? What's your dream in this beautiful life? This one crazy beautiful life
that you have to live.
I mean, I'd like to keep progressing in my career.
Mm-hmm.
Random.
I guess it's so weird, but I want to like do well in my career.
It is so random.
It's really fucked up, but
I feel like you guys are touring all over the globe.
Laura and I, who I co-host her podcast. It was hers originally, and I kind of interloped.
We need to do a crossover ep one day.
We should. Yeah,
that'd be so fun. I love Laura.
If y'all come to New York, that'd be so fun.
I would love that.
IRL.
Are going to LA in coming months.
I have to come see you guys.
It's going to be fun.
Touring is great. I love it.
We don't really tour, though. We need to.
You should.
We have never done a show in a different city except for Miami, and what can only be described as insane, psychotic circumstances.
What are those circumstances?
It was outside for one. It was
sponsored by a hotel, kind of, during Art Basel, but not connected to it.
We ended up talking to, we went to the, this British magazine wanted to quote unquote interview us, and we went on the wrong day for the interview. So we went into their house and they were all asleep and
they were like, what are you doing here?
We thought it was a fucking party.
We're here for our interview. They were like, I guess we can ask you a couple questions if you want us to.
This hungover hot guy was like, all right, 1 second, give me 20 minutes. I'm like, oh my God.
And they were both British hot, straight.
They were so hot.
They seemed so gay towards us. So then obviously the whole, because we did two shows and that was on the day of the second show. So the whole second show, I was talking about I was convinced these British guys are absolutely gay. I need to have sex with one of them. You're so gay. And then they were fully in the audience, and I saw them after. I was like, hi, I hope you like the show, and ran away.
They loved it. Anyways,
it was it was their magazine house.
Yeah,
a hype house.
Yeah,
it was literally, it looked like a hype house. It was Gorgina Frittata.
Wow.
Anyways, where are you touring next?
We're going to Denver, Minneapolis, Detroit, and then Philly.
Oh my God.
That's so fun.
So I was going to say, Pat, I don't know what date. We're there the fourth?
I think I'm there the first. So maybe we'll have some overlap. I think I'm there.
I would love.
Yeah.
I'd love to cross over.
I would love to cross paths in Philadelphia proper.
Tyler. Tyler Henry.
Oh my god, I need to watch that.
Oh my god.
Wait, what did you say? I need to watch his show. He's the medium crossing over. Wasn't that his show?
Yes.
He like only reads celebrities. Like if you're not famous, don't even try.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's my new career.
And I have a new career goal.
Yeah.
He has done, for one, a huge part. I don't know if it still is like this, but his mom used to drive him to all the interviews. Yeah. And he would do this huge thing where he would be like, oh my god, I have no idea who you are, but my mom is obsessed with you. And the celebrity's face would like drop and they would like process it and be like, okay, come in. And yeah. One time he did Carol Radswell. He came to New York and did Carol. Did you see that one, Carrie?
No, but did he talk about Jacqueline or Carolyn Bessette and JFK Jr.?
So that was what was brilliant, because you would have thought like if he was doing a hoax, like he would go and talk about her husband. Like she wrote a book about her dead husband. Right. And then he was like, he gets there, he sits and she's like talking to her husband. And he's like, I'm not seeing him here. I'm seeing a woman and her name's Carolyn. And then he was like, obviously I had like no idea who the Kennedys were. And she was like, it's Carolyn Kennedy. She's my friend.
Should I, do y'all think I should wash my hair before my show or just go stinky style?
Oh, you have a show tonight?
Isn't that so random?
Oh my God, that must suck.
Well, you know what's even more random is that I thought it was this place near Union Square, but it's actually Upper West Side, which is so scary.
That's so weird.
I think you should wash your hair.
obviously not the answer I want. I think it looks fucking awesome and you need help. And hey, I don't know who told you to tell women how to dress. You're a grown man.
Oh my god. Look beautiful though, Kat.
I've heard everything.
You guys are both, you're a beautiful duo, and I'm so
honored
that you guys had me on.
Well, of course. Before we go, we have to discuss our crushes of the week. Anyone have a crush of the week?
Yeah, I'm going to say that my crush of the week is the girl from Binghamton who screamed, come to Aqua. And also Zach Schiffman, I think he's being so funny handling all the haters, because he did tweet. He was like, half of the people keep calling me a grown man and the other half keep calling me a faggot. It's like, pick one. I can't be both.
Oh my God. Those are good ones. I was trying to think of mine before I came on. Kat, do you have one?
My new trainer, Michael McGuire, shout out.
Aww.
B, Haley Griswold, an amazing stand-up who knit me a beret.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. And she brought it to club coming and it was so sweet. And it's a very beautiful beret and I feel so honored. So shout out Haley.
I was doing this. When I said that, oh my God, I was doing this. Michelle, you do have magnets on your back. Oh my God. Oh my God.
It's
my favorite. My
crush of the week is this hot like gay daddy that I see at my Starbucks often, who has like a dog.
Interesting.
He has like a dog. It's so weird.
It's so weird. But he always
Now, do you guys feel hot today?
Do I feel hot today?
Yes. Do you feel hot today? Do you feel hot today?
One more time.
No, but I shaved, so I feel I shaved before I came on because I wanted to look good for you guys, so I feel a little better.
Shaving pre-Zoom can be unbelievable.
Yeah.
I'll never know that.
You look incredible.
Thanks.
You look absolutely gorgeous. You're glowing.
Oh my God, guys.
You look a little tan.
It's LA.
Yeah, you do look tan, huh?
It's LA, huh?
Yeah. You guys should do it.
I feel hot because I worked my little ass out. I'm so proud of myself. Oh, and I made salad at home for lunch, which is unheard of.
I think I feel hot. I ran in Binghamton this morning along a river, and when I run near a body of
water, beautiful.
I was wearing a half zip. I really felt like Katie Holmes in like later seasons Dawson's Creek, where she runs at her college like along the water.
Are you in Binghamton?
No, I did a show at Binghamton yesterday and I came home on a bus today. That way, I mean, then I was like on a bus. I was getting all these.
A bus is unbearable. I don't think a bus is okay.
I came home. I needed like quesadilla. You know, when you get home, you need quesadilla.
That sounds so good.
I had a killer. And then I found out, I thought that I had no more Amazing Race seasons to watch except for COVID seasons. But I found out that I had one more. So I'm on that.
That's beautiful.
Congratulations. Yeah. And now I think we're on to our last segment, which is of course, well, first of all, thank you so much for joining us. We're both obsessed with you. And I'm excited for our future crossover app.
Please.
And let us know when you're new. And if you ever want to try stand up, please come do my show when you're in New York.
I want to come see your show. So that would be really cool.
That's so fun. That's fun. Every here's what happens. Every week people come and they ask, where's Pat? And I'm like, Pat doesn't come to the show every week. You're just going to have to be, you're going to have to be okay with just me. Okay?
Pat doesn't leave his house. Pat almost never leaves his house.
I'm like, honey, if you think Pat leaves his house, you need treat. You're the one who needs treat more than I. Okay. First of all, Pat, are you mad at me because I don't have my microphone?
No, you mad at me because I was like kind of late, but it also ultimately like I would have been on time if it weren't for text that happened.
No.
Yeah.
Carrie, okay. Are you mad at me?
Never.
Oh, that's so good.
Carrie, are you mad at me?
Hell no.
Oh, thank God. I'm not mad at you, if you were wondering.
Do you wonder about us?
I was worried that you were mad at me that I had to change.
No.
I came from a place of fear, and I was...
Well, you know what was so perfect about it?
Because Allison was so nice about it, and I was just like, oh my God, they hate me.
Well, because you told Pat, we were like more annoyed with Pat than anything else. It had nothing to do with you. So okay. we're just happy that it worked out.
Well, I'm glad you guys aren't mad at me.
Should I get boat? Look at this. This is like a pre-boat commercial.
You have great skin.
Hey. All right, team. Enough's enough. Thank you so much for joining us. And y'all, if you listen to Sexy Unique Pod and follow Carrie on Twitter, truly one of the only funny people in America, which is huge if true.
Wow.
Live, laugh, love.
And why are you, as a man, listening to this podcast?
I feel seen.
Good.
Okay, bye guys.